This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch our TV show on Free Speech TV and on our website. After congressional Republicans swiftly voted to end digital privacy rights for internet users by overturning an Obama-era set of rules, many Americans are up in arms. Now, internet service providers can sell your online viewing habits to the highest bidder. Some have responded by raising money to buy the internet browsing histories of those members of Congress that voted for the controversial bill. Others, like my guest, have come up with some tech solutions. Developed in just hours, a new program, still in its infancy, aims to help users create internet noise to confuse ISPs and ad sellers. My guest is Dan Schultz. He is a senior creative technologist at the Internet Archive, former winner of the Knight News Challenge and a Knight Mozilla Fellow, and graduate of the MIT Media Lab. He's created a program called Internet Noise. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So first, what was your reaction when you heard about this vote? We covered it as a news story on our show and remarked on how fast Congress moved, first the House and then the Senate, to basically overturn these rules without giving advocacy organizations much of a chance to rally support against it.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, it wasn't exactly a surprise. I'm somewhat used to the idea of people in power, or anyone who is going to maybe be influenced by people in power, not necessarily being wonderful advocates for consumer rights. And so I saw it, I was frustrated, but I know that tracking, searching, watching what people are doing online, it's not a new concept. And it's kind of, this is just one more drop in the bucket of the surveillance state.
So let's talk about what exactly is so valuable about how we use the internet before we get into what your program does. Basically, it used to be, and it is, companies like Google and Facebook currently that like to find patterns. They have bots to do that, obviously, since there's so many millions of users. And they sort of basically create profiles, right, of users and their viewing activities so that they can market stuff to you. And this is very valuable information. Used to be your internet service provider, according to the Obama rules, would have been kept from having access to that information. And now they too can make use of it, like Google and Facebook. Is that accurate?
Sure. Yeah, there's a couple points. In terms of, so the first question you asked is, why is it so valuable? And to answer that, I mean, think about the raw amount of information that exists on the internet. There's way more out there than an individual person can consume. So content providers, people like Facebook or Google or news organizations, they have a vested interest, and advertisers, they have a vested interest in showing you stuff that they think you're going to care about. You only have a certain amount of time to read things. You only have a certain amount of times to watch things or click things or share things or spend money on things. So they don't want to waste that time. You don't necessarily want to waste that time. But the idea that other algorithms are making decisions about what you are and, more importantly, are not going to be exposed to, that is cause for enough alarm that people should be aware that it's happening and fight against it if they can. The other thing, just a very subtle thing, but I think it's important to note, and it might be a running theme throughout what I talk about today. You mentioned that it was about having access to this ISPs having access to this information. The reality is they have access to whatever information you allow them to have access to. That has always been the case. The legislation is more around what they're allowed to do with it commercially. The reason that's important to point out is because you, as an individual, have the power to take steps to limit the amount that they have access to through technology.
Right. In fact, they're the first point of contact, basically, that in terms of knowing what you do online, they do have access to it. And under Obama, the FCC was basically given guidelines to prevent them from using that information, to prevent them from profiting off of that information, because the idea is you can maybe change your search engine or choose not to go on Facebook. But it's harder to simply choose a different ISP because often most Americans are served by only one, maybe two, if they're lucky, ISPs in their area. So what did you come up with? Let's talk about internet noise. And so my guess is that this basically sounds like if they're going to track our habits, let's give them a confusing set of habits that they have a harder time making sense of. Is that about it?
That's the inspiration behind it. Now, I'm going to be pretty critical of my own project, and I think it's actually very important to be critical. It is internet noise. It's generating noise, and you're right. The inspiration is this idea that, hey, if they're going to watch everything we do, then why don't we bother them as much as we possibly can? Generate some noise, make them have to work a little bit harder to find the signal in that noise. The key point, though, it's more from a practical perspective, the effect of this project is more about the act of protest and the act of helping people become aware of this issue than the noise itself is going to than actually solving the problem, which is to say that by using this tool, yes, you're taking a step to protest. You're making a stand by sharing the tool. Your point. It's easy to share. It's easy to use, and anyone that goes to that site is going to see a little bit of a blurb about the issue. And more importantly, at the bottom, they're going to see steps they can take that actually improve the situation. Internet noise will generate noise, but in the same way that you can pick up a melody as a human being, if you're at a crowded bar, a noisy crowded bar, you're still going to be able to pick up on the signal, the melody, the tune of the song that's on the radio. Likewise, advertisers are still going to be able to tell what your habits are, because that is going to be a stronger signal than any noise generated by a site like this.
So it's a small attempt at creating some noise, but ultimately bots and programs created by these companies will be able to figure out your patterns. But just in general, if one goes to this website, and I don't know if you have a dedicated URL for it yet, but I've been finding it through the Wired News article about it. It's called Internet Noise, very basic website. And there's a button that basically says, make some noise. And it's ideally you want to open it in a new browser window. And once you click that button, make some noise, you let it go on its own. And your browser suddenly starts opening new tabs and makes random searches of relatively random words.
Yep, that's exactly right. So it's I'll describe the tool itself. And then basically, like you said, it will open a bunch of tabs. And it's actually random intervals too. So it will it's shifted around a little bit, but between 12 and 20 seconds for each tab, it'll create a new random search.
So that it's not regular and it's harder to identify as a problem.
Yeah, although again, it's probably not that hard for an algorithm to be able to see that it's algorithmically generated noise, or at the very least recognize that, hey, this user isn't visiting this site enough times for me to think that they're actually interested in it.
So this morning I searched for igloo dirt, tongue address, raven, and something else. I mean, basically just random words.
Yeah.
What if I inadvertently go to or do a search on words that I don't want to be associated with?
Maybe so. So here's a couple key points. That is the case. Here's the process that I took to find the words. I searched for the 4,000 most common nouns, and I used that list, and it just randomly pulls two nouns and plops them together. And then what it does is actually, if you see a search, you might notice that sometimes it actually shows a website. And that's because what it's doing is it's using Google's, it's an old and now somewhat hidden feature that Google used to have, still does, called I'm Feeling Lucky, where it essentially, when you hit that button, it'll take a search and it will just automatically throw you to whatever the first search result of that search, whatever that's going to be. So even the websites that show up after you hit the noise button, those are the results of searches. The searches themselves, the Google is keeping track of and probably realizing again that they're, it's kind of not signal, but noise. But one other key point is because Google is encrypted, if you ever have noticed, some URLs have HTTP and some URLs have HTTPS. This is true throughout your entire browsing history. That S stands for secure. So believe it or not, the searches, only Google is seeing those. Your ISP is not seeing those searches. The ISP is seeing any websites that you end up going to from those searches. We're working to improve the amount of times that a website is rendered instead of a search, because the searches are relatively, actually, from the ISP tracking perspective, not necessarily affecting the algorithm.
So ISPs see the websites you go to rather than the Google searches you do.
Yes, and more, this is really important. The reason I'm going to stress this is HTTPS is one of the strongest things that a casual user can use to fight against. Noise is one way, but if you have HTTPS on every website you go to instead of HTTP, your ISP actually, they can't see what you're looking at. And that's what the S does. It creates an encrypted connection between your computer and the website that you're using. And then when you communicate through the ISP, all they know is that you're talking. They don't know what you're saying. They don't know what web page, what sub page you're looking at. You know, if you're looking at the New York Times, they don't know what articles you're reading. They just know that you're looking at the New York Times.
And Google doesn't like to have its sort of access to this information thwarted, though, right? I mean, there's one person who wrote a program called Ad Nauseam, which basically tries to confuse Google in terms of the your browsing habits, and Google simply banned that particular app.
Right, and they could do that because it was distributed through Google. Where just to be, it is possible. Google can't censor things on the internet. They can censor things in their own app store. For anyone listening who wants to fight the system, don't feel too dismayed. Google did do that. And the reason they did that, it was not just that they don't want noise in their system if they can help it. That was a direct threat to their business model, which is advertisements.
Yeah.
And in general, the business model of the internet is advertisements for the most part.
So Dan, could one, when one is, say, running a program or, you know, doing something on their computer, simply open up a separate browser window, run your program, internet noise, presumably you might be going to improve it in the future, and then sort of minimize it, let it run in the background. Presumably it doesn't use up too much of your CPU, and just let it kind of run for as long as you feel like?
Yeah. We are working to improve it. One thing just to note is if you leave it running, eventually Google does figure out it's a bot, and you'll notice. And I've seen many people let me know that sometimes Google says, "Hey, are you a human? You're acting a little bit like a robot." But to answer your question more directly, yes, you can absolutely do that. It won't hurt in the sense that it is generating noise. And somebody does have to throw that noise out. They're going to have to figure out how to throw it out. And over time, hopefully, there will be ways to improve whether it's the volume of that noise. Like, if you're thinking, think in terms of that bar, right? If the goal is to get people to not be able to know what song is being played on the radio, you can either make the bar so loud that they can't hear the signal, or maybe you could start playing other songs at the same time. And so there are different approaches. And like you mentioned earlier, this is really the infancy of it, of an idea. And the attention that it's gotten has created a lot of people who have shown interest. So the project already has received some They're called pull requests. That's community contributions. This is an open source project. So people have submitted patches. They've submitted bug fixes. They've recommended new features, things along those lines. And so I'm hoping that this kind of idea can turn into something that's maybe a little bit more actually effective.
Obviously, there's a public hunger to protect their privacy. And if Congress won't, people will have to come up with ways themselves. So currently, how can people find internet noise?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have a catchy URL, and it's uncatchy enough that I'm not going to dictate it. But if you Google internet noise Wired, you will get that article, and they link to it. And if you that's actually the recommendation I would take.
And we'll post your personal website as well on our screen and on our website. We will post a direct link to internet noise from risingupwithsonali.com later today. Dan, thank you so much for joining us. Maybe when you have another version out, we can have you back on the program and see if we can beat those ISP and Google bots. Thanks so much.
Yeah. If it's okay, I have one quick extra note, which is please check out some of the steps that are on the internet noise page at the bottom. That will help you actually thwart attacks on your privacy. And check out the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF. Because they're really working hard on this.
Right. Political action is, of course, key. Thank you so much, Dan, for joining us.
Bye.
My guest is Dan Schultz. He is the senior creative technologist at the Internet Archive, former winner of the Knight News Challenge and a Knight Mozilla Fellow, graduate at the MIT Media Lab. We've been talking to him about his new creation, Internet Noise. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.